welcome to Fun Dip and Cherry Coke, the podcast to feed your pop culture nostalgia. I'm your host, Kira Gowan, and this week I am joined by the one and only Scott Merrill. He is back to tell me about Austin Powers. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Fun Dip and Cherry Coke, the podcast to feed your pop culture nostalgia. I'm your host, Kira, and joining me is, welcome back, Scott's here. It's great.
Hey-o. Oh.
Hi, Scott. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for doing this, like, kind of, like, weirdly last minute. I know we've been talking about it for a while, and I was like, can you do tonight in 30 minutes? Let's go. Now. Okay.
No, it's great because I've been so back and forth on what movie I wanted to do next. It's good to just lock it in and make it happen. So.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You can do more than one of them. I mean, I don't know. We don't want to talk about what they are, but I don't think anybody's called dibs on any of the other ones that you chose. So.
Nice. Well, yeah, I've quite a list going then. Yep.
But cool. That's kind of neither here nor there. What are we watching tonight?
We are watching Austin Powers, the original
Austin
first movie.
Powers.
Yep.
I was going to ask you which one we were watching because you said Austin Powers and I was like, I don't know which one.
So I like all three of them, just getting that out of the way, right out of the gate here. But I was thinking the first one is kind of the most nostalgic and the one that kind of kicked me off into the series, obviously, and was definitely, when it first came out, one of the raunchier movies I was allowed to see at the time. So it holds a special place in my heart for that, too.
Yeah. So the first one, okay, sorry. So the first one is International Man of Mystery.
Yep.
Is that right?
And then, okay. And then Spy Who Shagged Me was the second one, and Goldmember
and then,
was the third one.
Okay. I was going to say Goldfinger, but that's...
That's the actual James Bond, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know when you first watched Austin Powers that it was like a parody of James Bond?
No, and here's the kind of funny thing. I still haven't really seen much James Bond, but this came out when me and my family were living in England. So it was kind of appropriate from that perspective, but we couldn't find this movie anywhere in England, and we actually heard about it from our American friends who were visiting, and they brought a copy with them and showed us, and it was super funny, but it was not a terribly popular movie in England, probably unsurprisingly.
That's really interesting. I feel like that's a similar experience. Well, not the England part, but like not knowing necessarily that it was a parody, and I also have not seen a lot of James Bond movies, so I think we're gonna have kind of an interesting time with that.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of references I'm missing as a result, but it's a good standalone movie anyway.
Do you think you'll get the references now, or do you think you're still gonna miss them?
I still really haven't seen any James Bond besides the newest Daniel Craig ones, so I'm sure I'm gonna miss a lot of them, but obviously the Goldmember one's a pretty straightforward reference to Goldfinger, so
right.
You know, that one's pretty on the nose, but yeah, this was kind of one of the first movies, along with Monty Python, one of the first ones that kind of got me off into the more reverent humor and the kind of, you know, I don't know, it was just a good pathway into some of the dumb humor I'm into nowadays, so.
And I think it probably won't come as any surprise to you that this was also like not one that I like super duper loved as far as like comedy that I can get on board with. And I don't think I remember the first one that well. I think the second one was the one that I kind of watched a lot because it was, I don't know, it like was a better age for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I haven't seen this movie in a long, long time because Katie is not a big fan of this movie either, so we don't really have the opportunity to watch it. So that's why I wanted to do this, because I was like, oh, now she'll have to watch it with me, and because it's part of, you know, an assignment I have, so... it'll be interesting to see how it holds up, because, you know, it was a long time ago when I last saw it, and who knows if it's going to be.
Yeah, you're no longer a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that was probably the key demographic there. But, you know, it's kind of, it hits all the right buttons. Yeah,
for
it hits all the right buttons for my 12-year-old boy comedy. So
can you go over the plot of this one with me so that I can see if any of it comes back to me? Because I really don't think I remember this movie like at all.
Okay, yeah, I haven't brushed up on any of it. It's
no, that's fine. I want to know what you remember.
I want to say it's time travel related, where Dr. Evil hops in that Burger Boy thing and flies off into space and gets frozen and then deep freezes later in the future. And I don't remember. I remember this is the one with Scott, who is Dr. Evil's son. And
he's in all of them, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But he's in the first one. And then that's what with the scene where Scott, and they just like yell his name all the time because my family
started.
Oh, yeah, that
would resonate with you. Yeah,
my family started doing that to me because they also love this movie. So it was something that, like, I became the Scott from this movie. So
I'm so sorry that that happened to you.
Oh, you know, it's good. It's they're definitely worse things. But sharks with laser beams on their head, I remember.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't remember this movie at all. It's not coming back to me.
The $1 million. And this has a lot of the kind of clutch moments.
Don't they do that in all of them? With the finger?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. This is definitely one of those kind of movies that builds on the callbacks pretty heavily.
And this one does not have Fat Bastard in it. Is that correct?
I think that's number 3, I want to say.
What a relief.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that not being a part of this movie.
Yeah. I think this one is kind of the best, whereas like the second and third one start to build on just like the meta-ness and like playing the same jokes, so they're a little less fresh. So I think this is probably my favorite out of the three.
But the second one has Heather Graham in it, doesn't it? Or is that this one?
Yeah, the second one's her, but I don't remember what really happens in that one.
I think there's an island.
Yeah.
Is there an island? It's like, it's like boobs or something.
So, yeah, so that one came out and I wasn't allowed to see that one for whatever reason. So like I saw the first one when it came out, but this one, because I think it had the word shag in it, my parents just like didn't get a copy of this and we didn't follow up with this till well later. So
I don't know. And it had like the guns and the boobs. That was the second one.
I think that's the first one, I want to say.
Oh,
and
really?
The like steamroller incident when he's like move, and the guy's just like not moving as the steamroller's coming at 5 miles an hour towards him. And
oh shit, I might have seen this movie in the theaters then, because I feel like I've seen the scene with the gun boobs in like a movie theater.
Unless I'm mashing them all together, which is very possible. I'm pretty sure
totally possible.
That's all the first movie that we're about to watch.
Interesting. What other scenes do you remember, like, specifically from it?
I remember, like, at their evil chamber, he has the chairs that drop people into the shark pit with the sharks with the laser beams on their head. He goes to, like, father-son's school day or, like, parent-teacher day. Dr. Evil does, I think, in this movie.
Yeah, I have very vague memories.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely been a while. I remember number 2 was one of the guys in the Vegas scene.
Oh, boy. Nope.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, yeah, this might be a pretty fresh watch for both of us then.
That's exciting. How do you think this, like, how did it fall, like, fit within the other movies that kind of resonated with you at the time? Like, was this like your type of movie, or was this kind of an outlier? Or
so this was very much my mom and dad's type of movie, but they didn't really let on till around this age, and it wasn't like something that we watched with them. But this was when we started watching kind of like movies like Armageddon and Monty Python, Austin Powers, and they kind of like started showing us some more adult movies. So it's kind of when I started to get to see movies that weren't specifically directed towards kids, but rather just like actual real movies. So
I think it's bonkers that you just put Austin Powers and Monty Python in the same category as Armageddon, and I want to unpack that a little bit more.
It was just definitely kind of a quick jump, but specifically I remember in England the two movies that really stuck with me were Austin Powers and Armageddon, because Armageddon was the first movie I cried in, so that was also a pretty big moment. So yeah, those were the two that popped out, but definitely not in the same category.
Armageddon is one of my absolute all-time favorite movies, and
it's so good.
I love it.
So
it's
good.
Like the best thing.
I wonder what was coming out around the time of Austin Powers. So this was
I don't even what was it like? Yeah.
Let's see. Titanic. Yeah. Men in Black would probably be
another similar. Movie.
Not a whole
I'm
lot
of that year. Oh yeah. Face Off, Starship Troopers, another better movie.
Speaking of which, I always got that and Galaxy Quest mixed up, which they're pretty different movies, but I like saw them for the first time at the same time, and then I always got them confused for so long. But
Well, is Starship Troopers like a comedy? Like, is it supposed to be goofy? Because I've only seen it once, and so it didn't stick with me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's more serious. And then Galaxy Quest is kind of parodying the whole sci-fi exploration.
Isn't it about giant bugs?
But I think it's kind of serious in the way that like Tremors is serious, where it's like, yeah, kind of goofy monsters, but it's still like supposed to be these intense situations.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I was probably too busy watching Titanic and Anastasia. Oh, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit. 1997 was a great year for movies, is what I'm learning going through this list. Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, Dante's Peak.
Yeah, this will also be interesting just because 90s movies, for better or worse, always feel like a 90s movie. It's like when you watch them, it's surprising how, you know, I guess it's 20 years, which is quite a while, but just like how dated it looks. And, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it's that long ago for me, but it's just like, oh man, this was like pretty crazy looking back then as far as the technology and the style and everything.
Well, and also because like it's a 90s movies that take a 90s movie that takes place in the 70s, like, so it's got that added kind of layer to it. I'm just reading the Wikipedia now. Yikes. I'm going to tell you, I'm not looking forward to this.
Well, so when I asked you, I was like fully expecting you to be like, no, pick one of the other movies. I would have been like, oh yeah, okay. And I was mostly doing it just to like torture Katie. And then you're like, yeah, I'm into it. And I was like, oh wow, okay. Well, I guess, I mean, if Cure's down, then yeah, sure, I'll definitely watch it again. So,
I mean, I'll probably have a lot to say, but oh boy, I'm not expecting to like it.
I feel like I'm going to have a hard time actually watching the movie and not watching Katie's reaction to the movie the whole time and just seeing the pain on her face, because she thinks my English impressions are bad, but Austin Powers just like runs chills down her spine. So I'm very excited.
Oh, Katie, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that this was just the point of this was to torture you.
She knew what she was signing up for.
Oh no, this is terrible. I feel awful. Well, I guess let's just do it. Or you know what? Let's do the damn thing.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, you didn't get my bachelor joke.
Wait, who was that?
Becca.
Yeah, I just blocked all that out. It was too much.
Did you watch that finale? Have we talked about this yet?
Wait, for the Winter Games one? Or?
No, the Ari's finale.
Oh, yeah. Have we not talked about that?
I don't think we have. We haven't talked in a long time.
No, yeah. That was pretty messed up. But I don't know. It's what you sign up for, I guess. But it was just like, brutal.
Like they're setting her up just to like become so likable.
Gotcha journalism. Yeah.
And have her become the Bachelorette.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It was definitely like one of the cringiest things I've ever seen on Bachelorette, for better or worse.
It was rough.
During this finale, I literally was under a blanket, like hiding, like you do in horror movies where you like hide and like, oh, I can't watch, and you like put the blanket up.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't even do it. My skeleton was gone.
Oh God. Ari, why? Why?
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry, I don't know if you can hear my cat. She's making a big stink right now.
Oh, that's all right. I'm surprised you can't hear our dog. Oh, yep. No, heard that. Okay. There she is.
She's very sweet. Yeah, you have a new dog.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we're up to three dogs again. It's Obi-Wan.
Tell me about all about him.
So Luke and Leia are pocket pits. So they're pretty small, like 50 pound ones. Obi-Wan's already got to be pushing 65, 70 pounds. And he's got the hugest, blockiest head ever. And it's just like a massive, giant jawed pibby. So he's so sweet, though. And Luke loves him. Leia's actually pretty happy with him, which is huge. So
especially because he's like so much bigger than her, you'd think that she might get.
I think she's afraid. Like, she's finally realized she's met her match, and it's just like, I'm not even going there with this boy. But he's really sweet.
That's funny.
He loves cats. He loves children. He loves dogs, people. So he's
a
good boy.
Baby, there are two cats having a battle on my floor.
Hey, you know, cat battles happens.
Welcome to my life. Okay, well, I guess we should probably just do the damn thing.
All right, let's do the damn thing.
All right, we'll be back in a second with probably some thoughts.
Plenty of thoughts.
watched Austin Powers and I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would.
Oh, okay. Okay. I had a worse experience than I think I was expecting, just because, okay, so something I realized, and I have my list of notes as well, which I'm pretty proud of this time, but something I realized is, considering this was one of the first movies my parents let me watch that was kind of like more adult, it was definitely one of those movies that you don't want to watch with your parents, because there are so many sex scenes, it's a lot of like, oh, just pretend like you're not here, pretend like you're not here type of moments. And
but
they're
also silly.
They are, but I was getting shades of that because Katie was watching with us, and she was making me feel that like uncomfortable, like I should feel ashamed for laughing at this, because she was just like glaring me down so hard.
She texted me that she laughed 0 times.
Oh my god, she was so salty, and I was like, come on, you gotta give it up for some of this, because like from my perspective it actually was a bit funnier than I would have thought. I thought it was gonna be like a little too dumb, but I still enjoyed a lot of it. But Katie was just burning a hole through me the entire movie. It made me think about like watching with my parents and be like, oh yeah, this was actually a pretty uncomfortable experience, like watching all the like shy scenes and when they're naked and everything when you're like 10 years old or whatever I would have been at the time. I definitely, kind of overarching impressions, I definitely laughed more than I was kind of expecting. I realized I know the whole movie almost word for word, and I could finish every single setup, and I like knew exactly what the punchline was. So I actually think I was a lot more into it than I give myself conscious credit for.
Wow.
I was definitely just like, oh my god, I know this whole movie, and I haven't watched it in like 10 years.
Yeah, I did not remember the plot at all. Like, I remembered some of the scenes, but this was one that I was like, I had no idea. But yeah, so let's get into the plot. It is pretty basic. It's exactly like you said. It's basically, for some reason, Dr. Evil is wanting to kill Austin Powers, and it's in like 1970. And then Austin Powers like gets it. He like figures out that he's onto him, and they like go to attack him and his sidekick. And Dr. Evil escapes by freezing himself, which to me seems like a really flawed plan. Because if your goal is to kill Austin Powers, then freezing yourself, it just sort of takes you out of commission.
Yeah, it's more kind of run the clock out situation, it seems like he was going for. But then Austin Powers would get frozen as well, so
maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing, is if he like knew that would be, but like if you have a nemesis, like your plan shouldn't be to just like wait until they die. I don't know, that didn't seem like super evil. But anyways, so it's lucky that Austin Powers did decide to freeze himself as well, and then they wake up in like the 90s, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was like late 90s it was supposed to be,
and then a series of events occur that are, I don't know, hard to summarize the plot, because it's all just sort of a series of events that are all leading, like just like, you know, little like episodic things that lead to the goal of Austin Powers finally winning, I guess.
Yeah, and I'd say episodic is a really good way to put it. I did some snooping around the menus and the extras on the disc before we started watching it.
You have this movie on DVD?
Oh, I have all three of them on DVD. And it wasn't me who bought them. I took them from my parents who had them all on DVD. So, So I was looking around on there, and they had some like background stuff. Specifically, Austin Powers is kind of a sum of three different movies, James Bond being one of them. It's a parody of all three of these. And then the other two I didn't recognize, but they're apparently very similar late 1960s type spy, suave, Bond thriller type movies.
What ones?
So I didn't actually take notes, because Katie at this time was like, just start the movie already, like don't drag this out, and I was like, no, I don't want to do this.
She said she made her wait until she was done cooking dinner.
Well, yeah, because she couldn't miss any of the important like deliveries or anything, so... But there are two others that I didn't recognize, but apparently like a lot of these scenes were pulled from one of those three movies, and it is so I got the plot confused with thinking that Mini-Me was in this movie, which he's not,
which in between the first recording and the second recording Vern Troyer died. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, super sad. And definitely that's like his character is a whole nother kind of discussion in itself too. Right. But I got that confused.
We can get into the things that are problematic in this movie for sure. Yeah,
that was definitely something that I wasn't expecting quite as much. But So it is like meant to be kind of a parody, but I really don't remember the plot a whole lot, even though I could quote every single joke in the setup and the delivery and the execution punchline and everything. Even though I had all that memorized, I still couldn't part and parcel the plot. And I think this really is, you know, especially where Mike Myers came from, it is, it feels like an SNL movie, you know, where it's kind of these little small skits that are all pieced together to kind of form a movie, but the plot doesn't matter as much as like the individual jokes and like setting these situations up for very specific jokes. So
I think that's a really good point. It does definitely have that kind of SNL feel to it, where it's like, and it's also like extremely character driven in a way that Mike, like basically, I mean, everything that I can think of that Mike Myers has done, which the two things are Wayne's World and Austin Powers.
Yeah.
they both like share that. Oh, he had a small role in Quentin Tarantino's film Inglourious Basterds. I didn't know that. I just went to his Wikipedia. Interesting. I don't remember that at all.
I don't either. And I feel like he would have stuck out. Like I would have remembered. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I bet it was like serious and he was just like, you know, a Nazi or something.
Small background character. God, yeah.
I feel like I've seen that movie like a million times.
That was so good.
Yeah, that movie's great. Totally unrelated though.
But then speaking of cameos, actually, so I forgot Will Ferrell played Mustafa at the beginning of the movie, the guy wearing the pez, and it's like, oh shit, that's Will Ferrell. There he
is. That was probably the worst part of the movie for me, is because that was like they tanned him up and they put him in a fez, and I was like, oh, this is very, very bad.
A form of blackface. But so here's the thing, and we're starting to get into the kind of troublesome parts, but
yeah,
the movie is a spoof, so it's supposed to be playing off a lot of this like misogyny and just like troublesome things that these spy movies kind of glorified and brushed over and didn't really ever address. So part of it is like, okay, do they get a pass because they are spoofing and they're just playing these exaggerated forms of these problematic issues that occur in the genre they're spoofing, versus how much it's just representing it at all, perpetuating the problem and not actually like positively addressing it? If it's still like, you know, the protagonist is kind of the one doing these troublesome things, then it kind of like puts it in this like positive light. So
I don't know. It's just I think you have to, and maybe it's just that I like don't trust the type of audience who likes Austin Powers, but I think so much of it is based on like trusting your audience to understand your intention and to understand that like you're not, God, and I don't know. Does that kind of make sense? Like, if you portray it, then people will see it and perpetuate it. Like, even if you're doing it as like a way that is designed not to support it or
continue, so I'd call that South Park syndrome, because that's something with that show too, where like the characters, like Cartman especially, is a super bad role model, and if the wrong people kind of like glorify him and try and emulate him, they're getting the fact that he's a parody and meant to be satire and actually like represented as a bad thing, even though he's the protagonist. So it's, yeah, that's huge, like in how it's interpreted. And I'm also not sure how self-aware this movie was trying to be about these issues, or if it was just playing like a really surface level parody, or if it was trying to do more satire and like address these things through kind of being exaggerated and over the top. So
yeah, and I just think there's like probably better ways to do it, because the Will Ferrell thing like also just sort of felt like a throwaway. Like he was just there and like he's huge, like
that's what I was wondering, like and the timing of it was important, because either he was kind of like an early SNL person, was maybe like just getting his ground, or he was pretty established, at which point the thing is more about the cameo of seeing like Will Ferrell dressed up as someone who's clearly like not a white man like Will Ferrell. So it's the confusing part, where it's like how conscious of this are they versus how much is it just like trying to get the easy low hanging fruit laugh.
Yeah, and I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way, and I would be interested to see if people have strong defenses of it, what those defenses are, because it's possible that I'm just being, you know, hypersensitive, but yeah, I think
So Night at the Roxbury was 1998, which I believe was a year after this movie. So Will Ferrell actually might have been not quite as big then.
Okay.
Which is interesting, but
yeah, I guess. So then he had his whole, like, when was his, like, meteoric? It was, Ron Burgundy, wasn't it?
Yeah, and, like, during the Apatow streak, where there was Old School and Anchorman and
Dodgeball?
Was he?
And that one about ice skating.
Yeah, yeah, with Napoleon Dynamite.
I've never seen any of these movies.
I've seen all these movies.
So. I have seen Anchorman. That's like the. That's the only one.
Pretty strong one. Yeah. Yeah, so that was I guess was kind of interesting to see him, and I was wondering at the time, like, oh, was this before or after he was getting big? And definitely kind of reinforced that whole feeling of it being a Saturday Night Live, the movie kind of thing.
Yeah, for seeing sure.
Their cast. So note I have is Mr. Bigglesworth, and just wanted your thoughts on Mr. Bigglesworth, because A+. Of course I have to ask.
Nice. Favorite
I figured
character.
I was thinking that might redeem the movie and kind of like get you in a positive mindset with this. So I'm glad he came on early.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't expecting to like Dr. Evil so much because I don't remember liking Dr. Evil that much. But the only two times I laughed at this movie were both Dr. Evil jokes. And I thought they were like actually genuinely good and funny. So that was kind of he as a character was kind of the redeeming, just sort of how like hapless he was. It was very charming. And the way he was like he would like make jokes that nobody would get and then he would have to explain them.
Yeah,
I think was probably honestly my favorite part of the movie.
Absolutely. And that was actually a surprise for me too, where on watching it now, I can't really think anything specifically with Austin Powers. Like I didn't really like his character almost at all anymore. Whereas like before I feel like he was the main one, but I love Dr. Evil. Like everything Dr. Evil did and said was just like still perfect. And I think it was because he also didn't have the troublesome kind of scenes that Austin Powers did, which then kind of like versus like Dr. Evil is just like always kind of nailed the tone of what he was doing. So.
I mean, he did kill a lot of people, so.
It's
a little troublesome.
He played the role of evil mad scientist to perfection. So.
Yeah, but kind of like out of touch evil mad scientist, which I thought was, I don't know, I thought it was really delightful. Katie did not. She was texting me about it.
Yeah. She also fell asleep like midway through the movie, so maybe with some resolution she would have enjoyed it more, but probably
she missed maybe one of the funny jokes that I laughed at.
Which one was that?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So then the next thing that was really problematic for me, and this is kind of just going in chronological order with my notes, was how he was like, I don't know, really inappropriate with his colleague Vanessa.
Yeah.
She was like, please call me like agent whatever, and he's like, because he's like, hey baby, and she's like, call me agent whatever her last name is, and he's like, he like gives her a look and she's like, okay fine, Vanessa, and it's like, no, she has to capitulate to him so often, and she's very just like, okay fine, I guess this is just how it is, which is like very very gross.
Yeah. And so this is, and I don't want to be defending the movie because I don't think this is it, but just to like as a thinking point of what I was going through, it was interesting that she was like shot him down originally, which is kind of a subversion of the normal spy dynamic, which is like the woman is always just kind of the attraction of Bond, but doesn't actually play a role, versus she like shut him down. And at one point, she gave a speech in their hotel room that was actually like somewhat kind of progressive and like, you know, her standing up for herself, but then it always reverted like, back
colleagues.
To like, yeah, but then it always reverted back to her like falling for Austin and like being like, oh, you know, I forgive you. And
which is weird because it seemed like so much of that was based on her mom's relationship with him.
Yeah.
Like a whole
nother barrel of fish
level of just like, I don't know, I think that God, although I guess it's a cute meet cute, I guess, if you think about it in a positive way.
So as a personal aside, Elizabeth Hurley, who played Vanessa, was one of my first like movie crushes growing up. So that was something that I was telling Katie, that, you know, maybe she started this affinity towards British people, and that the reason we're together is because of this movie. And
so Katie should be saying thank you.
Yeah, and that's why I said, I was just like, if Austin Powers didn't happen, I just don't know. Like, you know, the odds might have been against us. So
never would have fallen in love. Did you watch her in Bedazzled? Did you like that movie when you were a kid?
I feel like I might have seen it, but it wasn't something that I remember.
She plays the devil and Brendan Fraser is in it, and she's like trying to, I don't remember the plot of it.
Oh, well,
she's trying
you had to, me at Brendan Fraser.
Right, exactly.
90s Fraser is just unstoppable force of nature.
God, what a dream. Did you ever watch Blast from the Past?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, George of the Jungle, one of my favorites.
Ah, love that guy. What's he up to now?
So this is a tangent, but I actually read a story about him recently that was in Vogue or GQ or something, and I saw it posted online. And it was basically asking that question. It's like, what's Brandon Fraser do now? And they went and interviewed him. And I forgot what it is, but it's like a really sad story. And he's like removed himself from acting and just like trying to take time to himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it was pretty sad to read just because... He seemed like such a nice guy, and just like,
yeah,
you don't want him to
He always sad. Did seem like a really nice guy. He was one of my favorites. I found the article. It's in GQ.
Yeah, it's a very interesting interview. But
cool. I will bookmark it and I will add it to the episode notes. His eyes are pale and a bit watery these days. Ugh. I'm just reading this article and getting sad.
just don't do it.
I'll read it later and get sad off mic. But
my next note, kind of talking about, like, is this movie, like, pushing some good ideas? They mentioned in the scene where Dr. Evil is talking to Number Two and Frau Farbissina about his plans for what they should do for their first, like, act back together. And he talks about, like, putting the laser through the ozone layer so that, it, you know, global temperature. Yeah. Rise, and they're like, no, we've already done that. And it was like, back in 97, you know, it was known thing, but it wasn't like being discussed in pop culture quite as much. So I feel like this was kind of a pretty aware, at least for the time, kind of like joke that they made.
Yeah, which for sure
was kind of interesting.
That was I thought that was very like a very current, like, that joke has aged so well. And I think that if they made that movie this year, like, holy shit, they'd have a lot of fun goofs to make about this scene in the world.
Have you ever seen Idiocracy?
No.
Oh boy. Okay, so definitely watch that movie. And that's a movie that came out, I think, in the early 2000s that, like, you watch it today and it's scary accurate, like, this kind of world that they said we're heading down to, because it's set in the future a couple of years, and scary accurate. It's a comedy, but it's a pretty dark comedy given that we're like on that path. But it's like a Mike Judge movie.
What kind of things do they like?
So a reality star gets elected president, and they have, like, everything is basically a reality show where all their judicial system is like battles in the mega arena where you have to fight these like robots, and the robots is like wind up killing everyone, and everyone stops drinking water in favor of what's basically Gatorade because it has electrolytes, and everyone's just like buying into all these marketing things. It's hard to describe, but definitely worth a watch.
I mean, Gatorade is delicious, so
yeah,
that's fair.
And it does have electrolytes, so they got that part right.
Yeah, it does have electrolytes. If you are hungover, you should drink a Gatorade.
Oh, there you go, little life pro tip.
But yeah, I thought that scene was really good, where they were talking about, what was the other thing that they were saying besides global warming?
I'm trying to remember, because that was the second one, and the first one was pretty good too. I can't.
Yeah, it was also like, it was like, so it was like so relevant. That was cool.
And then when they're talking about the money, and he's like $1 million, he's like, uh-huh. Sir, our company alone makes $19 billion a year. And he's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Then $100 billion.
He's like trying so hard to like be impressive.
Yeah.
He's doing such a bad, sweet job of it, and it was so relatable, because it was like, I too don't understand money or like how much a million is. Like,
yeah.
This is adorable.
Speaking of kind of the character base, I like Number Two a lot as well. His character was kind of a good straight man against Dr. Evil.
Yeah, he was good. I think we're about at the scene where one of my favorite laughs was. They're talking about all of the different companies that they own. Do you remember that scene? They're like looking at this giant map and they're saying, like, we own this company that does this here. And it's like showing a little like model on the map. And we own this company in this state that does this. And a company in Chicago that makes miniature models.
Models, yeah.
It was like, oh, it was like, that was probably the biggest like genuine laugh that I had in the entire movie.
I was really liking the movie up till that point, and then I'm pretty sure the plane scene was the next one.
Yep. I wrote, airplane scene is so cringy.
Yeah, plane scene gross is the worst.
That's when Austin Powers is basically like begging Vanessa to sleep with him. He's like, don't you want to? And she's like, no, I don't. Like, we're colleagues and we're working together. And he's like, but what about now? And she's like, no, still, like, absolutely not. Like, please, no, stop it. And then he's like, but do you like me? And she's like, I don't. I just don't. And it goes on for so long. And by the end, she's like into it.
Yeah. And that's like the problem is that if they left it with her just being like, no, you're gross. And like, yeah. It's like, okay, that's fine. That's a good reaction versus like, she like slyly smiles when she looks away. And it's just like, this is kind of like reinforcing this is you know, attractive behavior. And
yeah.
And I don't know, again, like, how much is it supposed to be satire on the 60s culture? And because, you know, like, I wasn't there, so I don't know if it's, at all based off that, or if it's just, like, crude sex jokes for the sake of
I think it's just crude and just showing that Austin Powers is sort of, like, a one-track mind, like, not very complicated character.
Yeah.
So then, oh, and I also noticed that we're not talking about any of the, like, bathroom humor, like, any of the, like, poop jokes, which is fine with me.
Okay. So I really like the defrosting scene when he's like peeing and then he keeps interrupting that one I still laughed at, but that definitely was one where it's like me and Katie varied strongly in our reactions to that one. And then the other one that comes to mind is in the bathroom with the Irish caricature. I don't remember his name, but
the
Lucky like Charms guy. Yeah. At the casino. Yeah. And he like confronts him in the bathroom and tries to kill him. Then Austin Powers is like drowning him in the toilet while Tom Arnold next to him is like, hey bud, like courtesy flush.
I did not like that one bit.
I didn't like that, but I love the Lucky Charm scene when they're in their chambers and he's like, his signature is leaving a charm at the scene of every murder, and he's like, yeah, they're always after me, Lucky Charms. And then they all start like laughing at him. It's like, why does everyone always laugh? And he's like, well, it's a children's commercial. And I love that scene. Like, the best scenes were definitely the Council of Evil, like talking or anything with Dr. Evil, and like the Austin Powers stuff. There's like, you know, I'd rather just take like a Dr. Evil movie.
Yeah, same. That's exactly how I felt. Actually, okay, that scene did make me laugh. I didn't write it down, so now I'm up to three scenes that made me laugh in the movie.
Nice. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you got one more. Classic. Check. Yeah.
And then the blackjack scene, I really liked when he's in the casino and they're playing blackjack and number two's at the table and he like hits on 16 because he sees with his infrared goggles that the next card's a five and that he'll get 21. And then Austin Powers holds on like three. Which,
yeah. And like, they're like, don't you want to hit, sir?
Yeah. And he's like, I too like to live dangerously. And just thinks he's being so sly. So.
Yeah. Even though he's just a dumb idiot.
Yeah. So, like, much of this movie, you know, really good scene followed by a lot of vagina, which is just, like, another, like, okay.
But and also, that was fair, because that's, like, definitely, that's, like, straight from James Bond.
Like, a satire thing, for sure.
Right. Like, the characters in James Bond, like, pussy galore, and I don't watch enough James Bond to know, but, like, they, like, people in James Bond movies had names like that. So that didn't bother me, but I was like, ugh, I'm done.
So the part that bothered me is that that's not an Italian name. And also, she doesn't speak at all with an Italian accent. Like, I was trying to figure out what accent it is, but I'm quite certain it's not Italian. So
yeah, and she was just like a generic pretty lady. Like, there was nothing like,
and maybe that's Italian. The joke, but just like, because I'm so deep in my Italian lessons right now, I'm just like, no Italian.
Oh yeah, you're taking Italian lessons?
I've been doing Duolingo.
Oh cool.
And I'm like 50%.
I speak a little bit of Italian. What can you say to me?
Tu parli italiano?
Si
bene.
Si do you know how to say ho bisogno d'aiuto? Ho bisogno d'aiuto.
No, I'm not sure what that is.
That means I need help.
That's a good one, though.
It's like basically all I remember.
Okay, that's a good phrase.
Vorrei una prenotazione per due, per favore. Is I need a reservation for two, please.
For two. Oh, yep. Una tavola per due.
And then that's basically all I know how to say.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good.
I used to know how to say north, south, east, west, and that's about it.
Nice. Oh, so speaking Italian, when I was poking around the menus, I wanted to see what languages they had it in. And the only two languages were English and French, which I thought was pretty appropriate because English for the Americans who want to watch it. And then the French love taking the piss from the British. So they would have loved this movie because it just makes the British look like idiots. So
yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, that's pretty appropriate. I'm sure those are the two major markets for this. So.
Yeah, nobody in Spanish-speaking countries gives a shit about Austin Powers.
Yeah.
And who can blame them?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a very white movie, so.
Right. So then there's a scene where Austin Powers, like, breaks into a lot of vaginas, like, I don't know.
Hotel thing.
Yeah, sweet. And she seduces him, and it's very unclear what she gains out of it.
That was something I didn't notice. this, and then at the end of this movie, I was like, wait, there was never a payoff. Like, she realized he had his business card that said, like, Austin Powers International Man Mystery, but as far as we know, she didn't do anything about it, and the only thing she would have done is tell number two, who knew that was Austin Powers already, so.
And I, like, really thought that she was gonna, like, poison him, because she gives him that sake.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, she's poisoning it, but no, she just,
nothing,
like...
nothing happens from it. Apart from, I guess it creates tension with Vanessa. And
yeah, that's, like, that's the only point of that scene, yeah. Which, I don't know, it seemed useless to me, but whatever.
Yeah.
And they play, during that scene, they play The Look of Love, which is just, like, the most possible cliche song that they could play during that scene.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually, like, overall, the music in this movie, I really liked it. Like, they had some pretty good tracks, I thought.
Yeah. Was it the scene with the Fembots? They had, like, these boots are made for a walker.
Yeah. They played some Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah. And then they had Burt Bacharach, which, so yeah. I just love Vegas and the whole, like, Vegas aesthetic. So it was really cool seeing the 90s Vegas again and just being like, oh my gosh, it's changed so much, and like kind of getting that, those Vegas montages.
Always
like that. So,
and I'm looking at the track listing, they had Incense and Peppermints during, I think that might have been like when they were in like the 70s, maybe when they were in the club at the beginning, and that's a great song. Incense, Peppermints,
oh yeah, yep.
They played I Touch Myself by the Divinyls, which, like, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a great soundtrack all together. So that was my second favorite. Well, maybe my favorite part, and then Dr. Evil was my second favorite part of
the movie. Yeah, I almost want to, like, keep watching the movies just because I feel like Dr. Evil gets more and more of a role in the second and third ones. Like, they kind of realize that a lot of it is him against the, like, Austin Powers foil.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to deal with Fat Bastard, too, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's
No good. And I think it just gets even, like, even more, like, crude humor.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, like, those are just, like, straight potty talk type humor versus this one, the, like, number two scene in the bathroom. The payoff is that this guy's name is number two, and we know this for the first, like, hour, 15 minutes, and then you have this payoff of this joke of, like, who does number two work for? And
Yeah, exactly.
That is, like, an hour and a half that's been building, and you're just, like, so, you know, it kind of earns it instead of just being, like, him sitting on people's faces.
Exactly. So. I think you're right about that. I'm not going to watch any more of these movies. I think this is about where in the movie we're introduced to the Fembots, which are basically, like, these robot women who are so hot, and then they have guns that come out of their boobs and shoot. And that's, like, one of the... Are they in more than just this movie? Because they're, like, very vivid for me. Like, I remember them well.
I'm not sure, but I think this is one of those things where it's, like, this is actually a direct reference to one of the spy movies where they didn't have machine guns coming out from their boobs, but they were, like, seduction bots that were meant to, like, you know, try and seduce these agents. So I think that might be a reference, but it might also just be, like, something they put together. But I think that was, like, one of the pictures I saw in that behind the scenes saying, like, these were the three movies that were based on it. So.
And Dr. Evil calls them high caliber women, which everybody just sort of looks at him.
See,
he calls them high caliber women, and then he just waits, and nobody laughs, and he says, you get it? Like, high caliber, like, because of their guns and because they're high quality, and nobody laughs. Nobody gets it. And I was laughing hysterically.
Yeah. And there's another line that I almost missed. And then Katie repeated it back to me, trying to be like, seriously, this is the joke. And I was just like, oh my God, I missed that. He said that train has sailed. And completely would have missed it. And then he's like, seriously. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
I thought that was really funny too.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Katie just wanted to dislike this movie.
She did, which made me like it even more.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think she wanted to get back at you for disliking Neverending Story.
I mean, I definitely watched this movie over that movie. Having seen them both now back to back. I'm sorry,
Katie, but I would too. I watched them basically back to back also, and Austin Powers was more entertaining.
Nice. Take that, Katie.
I'm sorry, Katie. I'm so sorry.
Oh, geez. The cats agree.
Yeah, they're having a really pretty epic battle right now.
Nice.
Well done. This is great. Maybe I should film this. Maybe I should put this on Instagram Live. I don't know how to do Instagram Live.
Hashtag cat battles. Cattles.
How do you do Instagram Live?
I don't know.
Story. Add to my story. I truly don't know how to do this.
Apparently HBO bought the rights to make a cartoon series of Austin Powers.
Of Austin Powers?
Yeah. And
I think it would work as a cartoon series.
Yeah, they made a 13-episode season, or had plans for it, but then shelved it.
Why?
I guess they just decided it wasn't going to work.
I think that it would be a really good cartoon series because I think that that sort of like fast-paced kind of the way that it's paced and the way the dialogue is structured, like the way that it's like punchline, the way the punchlines are delivered, it seems very like...
So there's apparently for about 10 years been a fourth Austin Powers in the works that focuses on Dr. Evil instead of Austin Powers.
That sounds so much better.
As of like a year ago, Mike Myers was saying everything is being negotiated and worked out. And yeah, sounds like it's still possibly happening. So that could be good.
I don't know if the world needs Austin Powers right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that might be, it might be just like too much.
Yeah, it's...
God, these cats. They're truly just, I'm sorry.
Just going for it.
They're really just going for it. Yeah, I don't know. I think,
It might be a bit too light. For kind of like, I feel like comedies, especially recently, have kind of evolved and there's an expectation that they're supposed to be smarter and
yeah,
you can't just get like the 90s zeitgeist quite as much anymore.
I'm trying to think of like comedies because I also don't know if that's like because we are older and so the comedies that are geared towards us are smarter than the comedies. But I don't know what's being geared towards teens.
I feel like the 90s was pretty physical humor heavy. Just from like, and again, you might be right. It's like an age thing, but I feel like it was like.
I think you are right though. I think it was very kind of like a lot more like sort of slapsticky rather than like biting. But who knows? Yeah. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know a ding dang thing about comedy.
Who knows? But more Dr. Evil would be good. So I'd be interested just for that part at least. But he did show up actually, come to think of it. I just saw him like Jimmy Kimmel or something. He did a segment as Dr. Evil recently.
Whoa.
That was like an anti-Trump thing where he was like talking about these things that would be so bad. And then they're like, oh, that's like what Trump's doing. He's like, oh my God, I'm not even that evil. And yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds actually pretty good because I think you could play with that a lot.
Yeah.
Like the nature of like this was so ridiculous and outrageous when we thought of it a decade ago.
And now it doesn't seem quite as crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And now look at the like actual bonkers things that people in real life are doing.
That could be interesting. Just, like, a nightmare. Who knows?
This cat.
Hey, Gary.
Can you be good? Are you going to be good if I put you down?
So the only other couple stray observations, at one point they log in and it's AOL.com and it's like they go through the whole like slow loading screen, which is like, oh boy, I remember those days.
And that was like the end of slow loading. Like,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We were starting to get faster.
I remember trying to play online games at a friend's house and it was like if someone got on the phone, we had to disconnect from the internet and then it took like 10 minutes to get reconnected again. Yeah.
And like, I remember like pictures loading and it'd be like row by row.
So slowly, yeah.
Pixels, like, oh, come on, give me my Backstreet Boys picture. Yeah. I just want to see the Backstreet Boys, like, please. Or like, give me Josh Hartnett. I just want Josh Hartnett. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So then we're kind of, we're not talking that much about the movie because not that much happens in it. They're like in the lair, they're trying to escape. Vanessa and Austin Powers are having like a relationship talk and he's saying like, no, I only love you. She meant nothing to me. And then they get trapped on a like slowly descending platform into a pit of sea bass and it's all just like, come on.
Well, he wanted sharks with laser beams on their head, but they weren't able to get that. So they had sea bass with laser beams on their head.
And he asked, are they ill-tempered? And the answer was yes. And he said, well, that's a start. And actually, that was funny, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I found four things that are funny.
Nice.
In this movie.
See, it creeps up on you. And that was, like, why when I was watching it and I could answer every punchline, I was just like, okay, so I can't remember anything about the plot. And I couldn't recite the plot for you, even probably now, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But I could tell every single joke. If someone sets me up, like, I'll go ahead and finish because, like, I remember the joke so vividly. And I didn't watch it a ton. It's just, like, they all stuck out to me so much.
There were some pretty good jokes, actually, when Dr. Evil and Scott were in, like, counseling.
Family counseling. Yeah, and that was Carrie Fisher, too, which was another, like, cool cameo. Yeah, she was the counselor that was leading the group.
How did I not recognize her?
She looked she looked definitely like a lot different. And
wow.
Yeah, so seeing her, I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah,
Carrie Fisher, wild. Will Ferrell, surprise cameos.
Yeah, I totally didn't recognize her at all. I thought that it was somebody who like looked familiar, but I think I was just like thinking that it would be somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, and that cool. I only probably really noticed because they had a like cameo section in the extra special features. Oh, okay. So I like was okay. like, oh, Carrie Fisher's in this.
You're also like a pretty big Star Wars fan.
Definitely,
so.
Yeah.
you could say that. Yeah. I don't know. I think you like maybe like it a little bit.
Just a little.
I still haven't seen the newest one.
It's really good. Next time you're in town, I'll make you watch it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I want to. I've heard good things about it.
The new ones are more accessible, I feel like. If you aren't like a big Star Wars fan versus like the prequels can be hard to get through unless you're like, really into the story. And even the originals can be a little slow.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Han Solo one because it's got my boy
Donald Glover.
My boy Donald Glover and my other boy whose name is hard to pronounce.
Amelia Clark.
No. Is she in it?
Yep, she is. She actually plays a character named Kira.
Oh, holy shit. Yeah.
Q-I-R-A or Q apostrophe I-R-A, I think. But
well, she spells it wrong, but I'll take it.
Well, no, you know, it's old Star Wars spelling.
My other boy, Alden.
Oh, the guy playing Han.
Yes. Nice. Yes. From my boy from that movie with George Clooney that was a Coen Brothers movie that I can't think of. Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar.
Is that good? I haven't seen that, but I love the Coen Brothers.
Honestly, you can watch the first, I think, like 30 or 45 minutes of it
and call it good.
Be fine. Because the two best scenes are in like the first 45 minutes. Watch until the Channing Tatum like sailor dance scene and then you can turn it off because it's fine after that, but it's just like great until that.
Nice.
And it's because my boy Alden is very good and I like him a lot, so I'm glad to see him.
Cool. Yeah, that comes out in like 3 weeks, I think. So
holy shit, really?
Yeah, it's super soon.
God, I have so many movies I need to see still. I've got that movie pass and I don't take advantage of it because I'm always too busy. But what happens next in this movie?
So, and honestly, I don't remember because we kind of jumped around the storyline. I don't remember what the storyline was. But at one point, Dr. Evil goes and threatens what's effectively the UN, the secret UN. Mm-hmm. They're in like the secret meeting room is what it's called. Very on the nose type stuff. Mm-hmm. But go and threaten them where they get a nuclear warhead that they're going to drop into the middle of the Earth, thus exploding the entire Earth unless they get $100 billion. so then they're going, Austin Powers and Vanessa are going with MI6 to try and stop them from putting the warhead into the Earth. And honestly, I don't even remember how they stop it. But they like break into the lab. He fights the fembots to get deeper into the lab. And then he hits the abort button at one point after they like infiltrate the lab. And
well, so the fembots are supposed, they're like trying to like seduce him so that they can shoot their guns into him. But he like ends up seducing them instead.
Yeah.
Which like the emphasis on like how often they repeat and try to convince the audience that Austin Powers is sexy is baffling, and I'm still not buying it.
And
that's the joke.
Yeah, and Vanessa's mom mentions that, like, oh, in the 60s, you could be a sex symbol and have crooked teeth and, like, look kind of weird. So they, like, kind of address it to you, but I don't know how much of it is Austin just thinking he's this, like, sex god when, in, by 90s standards, quote-unquote, he's not sexy anymore, or if it's meant to be that I mean, we are supposed to, like, find him sexy.
But he made those fembots' heads explode, so...
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty sexy dance, and that's that's something I thought with was this movie, too. It's just, like, I feel like it might be sex positive, but it has very bad issues with, like, consent and the way they handle some of those scenes. But I feel like they do have, like, some strong speeches where they're pretty, like, sex positive, and Austin's, like, 60s perspective clashed against the kind of more oppressed 90s sexuality. Like, they kind of drew a little bit of that attention there, which is kind of interesting, but I don't know if it's, like, overall, if I'm saying it's sex positive just because they talk about sex a lot, and it's, like, a big tenet of the movie, and they don't, like, shame for it because the main character's like that, or if it's actually...
Well, and the women, like... Positive. Like, they do portray women as, like, enjoying sex as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I think you're not wrong. And it would be interesting to see like what would happen if they had gone more into that. It'd be interesting to see what this movie would be like if it was made today.
Yeah, totally. Because I feel like for the time, it was like pretty good considering it was a lowbrow comedy. Like it wasn't terribly problematic within the scope of the time. But now like 20 years later, we definitely are looking at these things better. So it would be interesting to see if what would be changed, if anything.
Do you think that any of the messages in this movie would be like kind of like bad for, because I think that it's true that the main people who were watching this movie were probably like, you know, 11 to 15 or whatever, probably. And I'm wondering like if anything would have kind of like influenced like an impressionable mind in a way that would have like negative consequences as an adult.
So I think it is kind of so over the top and such a parody. It'd be hard to try and like emulate it, and it's kind of obvious it's a parody even if you're watching it kind of young.
Yeah.
I think it is important to understand it's a parody of the spy genre, and to do that you need to like be familiar enough with the spy genre and seeing those kind of movies to then be like, oh, I understand what these references are, instead of just thinking it's funny for kind of standalone. You want it funny because of the context of what it's satirizing or parodying. So, but, and you know, I didn't watch a lot of spy movies, so I kind of saw it as a standalone movie. To me, it was more funny just because the British accents and like living in England at the time and like the whole like British portrayal of British culture was pretty funny. But I don't know. I don't think it would be too much to walk up, because it's kind of like a clown almost, where the character is like so over the top and just kind of funny because of the physicality and the crazy pronunciations.
There's like one scene that is kind of coming back to me is like, oh no, this would be bad. It's where she opens her suitcase for the first time and she's got all her clothes in like plastic, like folded really nicely, like labeled in plastic bags, and he makes fun of her for it.
Yeah, he's like, nerd alert.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's mean, and sort of like, I don't know, I feel like that would be the thing where it's like, oh, if I was like an organized child or whatever, and that was like, I would feel like shamed for that.
Yeah,
no, I didn't like that. But
okay, yeah,
but I think you're right that other than that, it's all so like, and even that is like over the top, like that's an exaggeration, and I don't know how, like, if anybody would ever like go to that extent, you know. But yeah, I guess since it is so over the top, it'd be hard to, it's, and in that way it's kind of hard to take offense with the offensive things in it, because they're just like so over the top.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, if it's, because it's PG-13, if it's a 13-year-old on watching it, I think that'd be okay. If it's, like, someone much younger than that, you just, like, don't really have the context for a lot of it. So it might just be, like, lost or misinterpreted. So, yeah, I think, like, for the audience, it's, quote-unquote, supposed to be for, like, 13 and up. Yeah, it should be fine. But
and I think I watched this movie younger than 13.
Yeah.
I think I watched it when it came out, which would have meant I was like 10.
I was 97. Yeah, I would have been like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, it's hard to say. lots of times, you know, I hate when people blame violence on video games and stuff, which is proven not to be associative. So it's kind of like, it's don't like to draw lines between, you know, and this one's at least not so problematic that I'd be concerned about it. It's just like, could there be some things possibly, who knows, especially maybe some of the later ones. But I feel like this one's kind of smart in how it like set up and went about most of the humor, maybe, versus, like we said, with
so,
the
like, gold members. So fake. Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
So speaking of the scene with the briefcase, another part I really liked is the part with the gun where she takes out the small gun and then he takes out his gun and kind of is like, oh, look, my gun's bigger. And then she takes out her really big gun, and he's just like, he like cringes, like, oh, no. And So I kind of like that gender play, too, where it's just like, oh, of course, he brings out the bigger gun, and it's a penis joke. But then she has the bigger gun, so that's like, oh, okay, that's actually, so.
There are a lot of penis jokes
in this movie. So many. Oh, my God. Sausages.
I don't know if you caught all those penis jokes in this movie, but that's, like, all this movie is penis jokes.
So I don't think I caught that his chest hair and subsequent stomach hair was in the shape of a penis until this time. I think when I was a kid, I just thought he was, like, a really hairy guy. but didn't realize.
I still did not catch that because I was too distracted by how gross and hairy he was that it didn't even.
It's definitely a phallic shape. And
holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and check it out.
You know, lots of layers to this movie, you could say.
Ugh. And also to his chest hair. Yeah, like,
seriously.
Holy shit. Like, it is, it's bad news.
So then the only other note I have is Tab Soda, which they showed pretty prominently, which is this sugar-free soda that the only time I've seen it is my uncle is super obsessed with it because he's diabetic and can drink a bunch of it without having to worry about sugar spikes.
Interesting.
So I like never had seen Tab around except for when he comes and we buy it by like the caseload. And it was like a couple different times in this movie it showed up and it was the only soda they had around, which I just like. So
that's wild.
Let me know if you know what Tab Soda is because it's such a like niche thing. It was weird seeing it.
Like, I feel like I know what Tab Soda is, but I didn't know that it was. I didn't know that it was diet. I had no idea.
So it's in those pink cans, and I'm pretty sure it's. It was. I don't want to just assume this, but I think it was meant to be like a soda targeted towards women, and that was like.
I'm looking it up.
Coca-Cola.
First diet drink. It was notably. I think it might have been just. Yeah, it makes sense because it was soda that was popular in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, so he's drinking it because it's. Like the original soda. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've definitely seen Tab Soda. Like that logo is like very, very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. In 1990, it looks like it's not really. Is it a thing anymore still?
I mean, my uncle still gets them, but I think more kind of like the cult following from the early days. I guess the Austin Powers of the world.
I hope he doesn't get stomach cancer because, oh, well. I think they changed the recipe, but the sugar that they used to sweeten it, or the formula that they used to sweeten it, oh, bladder cancer.
Yeah, said it was later repealed as no evidence was found. In humans.
Well, but who knows?
Fake who knows? Is. He's a scientist. I trust him.
Me too. Me too.
And then that's where my notes end, which is funny because like that point was probably a half hour before the end of the movie. And I was thinking about why, and I think it's mostly because at that point, it's kind of like all the action and plot resolving, and they don't really do as many jokes as much as they just like kind of wrap up the movie, and then it ends with like another them on their honeymoon, and you know, it's fine.
Which, of course, they get together, and it's supposed to be like the best thing, and it's like very weird.
Yeah.
Still. And, yeah. And then everything is happy, and then there's, like, going to be another movie.
Yep, and, I think that was that.
What was your favorite part?
Generally, Dr. Evil. Specifically, another good scene was when the guy gets run over by the cement roller, going, like, 5 miles an hour, and he, like, freezes and is screaming. He's like, no, and this roller's coming at him for, like, 30 seconds, and Austin Powers is like, move out of the way! Move! And the guy would move and slowly gets crushed by this, which Aaron then told me the first
really familiar.
Oh yeah, he plays Stewart on SNL, like one of those characters, and he's one of these like cameo actors who's in a ton of different kind of like secondary roles.
Interesting.
And so then he gets run over, but Aaron was then telling us that the first traffic fatality was someone getting hit by a car that was going 4 miles an hour. It was in like 1910 or something, and that basically that same thing happened where someone like saw a car, didn't know what it was, froze and got hit at 4 miles an hour.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So what was your favorite part then? I guess I'd say Dr. Evil, but
yeah I think same. I think
maybe his counseling speech when he's in family therapy and they ask him about like his history, and he goes on like the rant of like, my father was a cold man. He used to give us ice cream and then pour it out in front of us. Like,
that got a little too, like, didn't they start talking about balls at one point?
He got his testicles ritually shaved by Buddhist monks or something.
Yeah, I was like, no thanks, I'm out. Like, I was into it until then, but I was like, nah.
So then they have a callback to that later where, I think it was something with Scott later, but they like talk about Dr. Evil wanting to shave someone's testicles again. So it's apparently like a thing of his, but yeah.
Oh man. Yuck. Yeah, I think this movie was better than I thought it would be. I don't need to see it again.
Are you going to watch the second and third ones as follow-ups?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
I feel like the second might be okay, but the third. Yeah, I don't know.
I would watch it if somebody could give me a cut of it where there's no Fat Bastard at all.
So I don't think he's in the second one, at least.
Is he not?
He's definitely in the third. Let me see.
Okay, if he's not in the second one, I can watch the second one. Did you know Beyonce's in the third?
Yeah, so she plays the main female character.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very good in that.
So I guess I'll watch it because of Beyonce.
And Michael Caine's in the third one.
Yeah.
And then they have the cameo scene where, like, they have actual, like, big-time actors playing the roles of the Austin Powers characters. So, like, Dr. Evil is Danny DeVito for the first, like, 5 minutes. Number two is the guy who plays Chris Traeger.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
And then...
It is literally on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then Tom Cruise plays... Rob Lowe. Yeah. And then Tom Cruise plays Austin Powers. And, like, the first scene they shoot are with these actors, like, playing those roles.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite scenes, just because it's like,
God, I think I was like a little too old for the third one, but I saw it in theaters anyways because I was like, all right, this is history, whatever. And then I was like, why did I do this?
So Fat Bastard is in the second and third one.
No.
Yep.
Do you think there's a cut where he's taken out completely?
Could probably make it happen. I've been wanting to do a Star Wars cut of like combining the movies into like a couple really tight movies. And I was thinking you could do that with all three Austin Powers. Just make like one solid two and a half hour movie, but only keep
too long.
The best parts.
I can't watch it for that long.
Yeah. I mean, 2 hours would be half an hour more, which I guess is still, I was losing attention.
It felt
by the
so
end
much
of it.
Shorter than that.
Than
it
an
went,
hour and
like,
a half.
It went quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like this movie.
Nice.
I guess.
I gotta say I'm a bit surprised, but...
Me too, honestly. Yeah, this is not one that I was expecting to delight in at all. But yeah, do you have any other final thoughts?
No. Yeah, I think I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I will definitely be watching the next couple, if nothing else, just to drive Katie up the wall. So,
well, if you want, we can do them for future episodes. I know Katie has a couple more Never Ending Story assignments.
Oh boy, is she sticking with that?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
the three of us are in this for the long haul.
Oh, no, we'll never escape.
I know. How many Never Ending Stories are there? There might even be four.
I think it's like a real Kids Bop situation where we're up to like 35 now or something.
A real Land Before Time situation.
Yeah, real Now That's What I Call Music.
Well, we should do a toast.
Do you have any thoughts on this one?
I do. I think we should do it to penis pumps.
We just made penis enlargers. It's not mine, baby.
And I know we didn't talk about it at all during the episode, which is weird because it was like, I feel like...
It took up a lot of screen time.
30-40% of the movie was penis pumps.
Seriously.
But I feel good about just ending with it, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, cheers to penis bumps.
To penis bumps.
Okay, we're going to say goodnight, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're a fan of the show, why not tell your friends? You can find me on Twitter at FunDipPod, and as always, it'd be rad of you to rate and review the show in iTunes. I'll see you again in a couple of weeks.